Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 299 shows and counting. And this is great, a great feeling here, because this show's been running from June of 2014 with Marty Oakley, TS Radio, 163 shows on there, and a big, huge thank you to her for her help getting it started. And from show number 164 up to 299, ladies and gentlemen, almost 3 years on my own, and it is a total success. Next month will be 3 years on my own. And Carried Voices, Care for Animals, the name over from TS Radio. So a big thank you to all you former guests, the callers, the audience for tuning in, the ones that help promote this show. It's all about teamwork and making it happen and making it a success and not a failure, because we are winners for the animals, not losers. So what I want to do is go over a couple things before we get the guests on air. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette online, www.ppjg.me. And you can press listen live here, and it'll lead you right to Blog Talk Radio. And on the right-hand column, if you like to follow my podcast, just press follow in the right-hand column under Blog Stats, or you can follow also from Blog Talk Radio. And it'll alert you every time in your primary email that there's a live broadcast coming up. It is awesome. That site is www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescarryforanimals. And the follow link is right under my logo, Animal Advocates Radio. Please help, and we can always expand and gain more listeners, you know, guests, everything. So let's see it happen in 2021. My name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and the host for Voices Carry for Animals. And welcome aboard, everyone. All you new listeners, thank you for tuning in. All you returning listeners, thank you all for your support. I will be taking calls at the latter part of the show. And if you want to keep this number handy for animal or Voices Carry for Animals, area code 310-982-4270. And if you want to speak on air, just press 1 in the queue, and alert me that you want to speak to the guest. Just try to be, you know, refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. The more voices and action takers, the better for our animal friends in need and distress. And, you know, just keep spreading the word because, you know, change is not going to happen overnight. We've got to allow time. And on this radio platform, you know, it's great to have, but we got to take that, you know, foot in the right direction and take that action. You know, contact your state representatives. They are the big dogs. So if we want any new laws or change of laws, we have to, you know, get a hold of them. And that number is area code 202-224-3121. And then it's going to ask, you know, ask for your zip code and you can get, you know, connected with your state representative or your senator. You know, during the week, you could try to get a hold of them. After hours, just leave a voicemail or you can email them. You know, just go find your state representative. And then the same situation, you put your zip code in on the search engine and you can get connected with them that way. So we're going to go ahead and get ready and start with this show. I wanted to give a big shout out again to Marty Oakley for the PPJ Gazette Online that proudly supports this show. And on the right hand corner, if you ever want to hear any of the archived shows, is on the search, just put Voices Care for Animals and all the links will pop up and then you pick which one you want to listen to and wait for it to download and then it will play. You can share 24/7, everyone, so you can always go and listen to them and, you know, tell your family, your daughters, your sons, your neighbors, coworkers, and, you know, get the word out because the more of us coming on board and banding together, it takes teamwork to see any victory, strength in numbers. So I'm going to get started here. I want to welcome back Kate McFall. She's the Florida State Director for the Humane Society of the United States, and she has been on the show several times, and she's coming back and always inviting her back. I've had Humane Society of the United States on my show so many times, I lost count. But they're always welcome back. And a big shout out to all the staff and everybody out there, the volunteers who's helping out and doing their part because the animals do matter out there, everyone. All lives matter, including the animals. So whatever we can do to make it better for them, better lives and futures, it is a big plus. So the topic we're going to be discussing, a Florida House bill introduced that would prohibit the retail sale of dogs, cats, and Florida Wildlife Commission later in February that would tighten, maybe prohibit breeding and sale of non-native reptiles in Florida. But I want to welcome you back, Kate. How are you doing this evening? So excited to have you back.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, thank you so much. I've been really looking forward to this. I'm so happy to be here. And I don't even know how many times I've been on, but I love it. It's always so uplifting and you're so positive and it's so fun to talk about advocating for animals. What we do as a team here in Florida and, of course, throughout the country and beyond, there's so much going on in Florida. Such a unique and diverse state and it's a big state, too. With so many issues and exciting issues and some challenging issues, of course. So I love talking with you about them and to your listeners and promoting, you know, advocating for animals, all animals.
Yes, and just bringing the negative into the positive because, Kate, we know it can be done. It just takes a little bit of time and teamwork and everybody working together to make them changes because it matters so much. Yes,
it does. It does. And the advocates, I mean, that's part of my job is to inspire and help advocates communicate with their elected officials. So whether it's on the local level in their city or county or at the state level, here in Tallahassee is the state capital where their lawmakers will come for session. And of course, outside of session, they're at home in the district. But they are making decisions on animal issues, whether they hear from us or not. And we know the opposition, those who exploit animals and harm them for money, they're hearing from the industry. We want them to hear from the animal advocates as well. And politeness is a given. That's a must. But we really encourage folks to talk with their lawmakers, get to know them. I mean, they're just people. Again, whether it's the city commissioner, county commissioner, or state lawmaker, of course, and then beyond. But here in Florida, those are my areas of focus. And when people do, it's incredible because they're lawmakers. Then they, you know, develop these relationships and they look to them for help. Well, this came across my desk. What is this? What do you think about this? And as well as, you know, shelter directors and wildlife folks in their area to have that relationship. Because lawmakers have so many topics and issues that they have to vote on and discuss. I mean, a lot of issues. So having someone they trust and know who they've seen in front of them, whether it's Zoom or in person, is beneficial to them. And of course, it's beneficial to the animals. And I, you know, our biggest issue right now after the greyhounds, thankfully, we just have to do a quick shout out
yes.
that last month was the first month that greyhound racing was illegal in Florida. So hooray.
Yes.
And
victory.
And you and I have talked about that a lot on your show. And thank you for giving so much time and energy to our fight for the greyhounds. And so we are, our next, you know, legislative priority is puppy mills and the retail sale of puppy mill pups. I mean, going back to childhood, you know, you've heard adopt, don't shop, and people know puppy mill is bad. But what people don't understand is that that cute puppy in the window of that store is actually from a puppy mill. So that's where the breakdown, I think, is for many do know that, but a lot don't. And that's why people buy pets, you know, from the stores. And so what we're working on in Florida to address that and to cut off that, you know, demand is to prohibit the retail sale. We know that responsible breeders who breed in their home and, you know, have far fewer than the commercial breeding facilities, they don't sell their puppies to a store. In fact, it's in their code of ethics for many of the local breed clubs. So we know that the puppies in the store come from a puppy mill, a large commercial breeding facility, mostly out of state, far away, and that puppy's parents are still there. And it's everyone knows that it's cruel and that these large-scale, you know, mass breeding facilities where they, you know, are more motivated by money than by the welfare and the caring for these animals. And so by prohibiting the retail sale of pets, we really address that. And so far there are 76 ordinances in the state of Florida, advocates from all over that have worked on with their local, you know, council members, commissioners, and that's a lot of ordinances, 76, and still counting. We have a few we're working on now. That's pretty impressive that prohibit the retail sale. So in that vein, this is the first year we have introduced a bill on the state level that would prohibit the retail sale of pets. And Representative Sam Killebrew, who we love, he's our House sponsor. He's from Polk County. And Senator Jason Broder from Seminole County is our Senate sponsor, and they are champions for animals. We know this is not going to fly through the legislature. It's going to take some time, but it was time for us to introduce something on the offense and to put this out there, and we're so excited about it. Of course, there's a little bit of pushback, but we're here to stay. We've proven that from our past track record, and I think it's getting the conversation started. People are putting two and two together, and I think we're going to make some progress in the years ahead, prohibiting the retail sale of pets throughout the state of Florida.
Oh, I hope so. This is, you know, because those puppy mills, Kate, they don't even live comfortably. Sickening. I mean, it's not right for them. It's so much, you know, they're under a lot of stress. It's so inhumane for them to live like that. And they need better lives and futures because it's so sad. I mean, why?
Would you like to be in that situation? Of course not. In a cage that's only 6 inches larger than your body for your whole life, wire flooring, exercise and socialization never happens. You know, cold or hot temperatures, depending where. It's no, you know, regular veterinary care. it's inhumane. Again, I mean, I remember, you know, when I was younger, when I was a kid, practically, the term puppy mill was out there. So that we know, but making that connection, you know, people don't see them. A lot of times they don't. We don't really have very many in Florida. Most are in other states, northern states and more western. But the, you know, that's cruel, but the transport is lengthy and a lot of sick puppies. It's just a lose-lose. It's very sad. And what a lot of people don't realize is that, oh, well, just because a breeder is USDA, has a USDA license, that's not like a badge of honor. I mean, the USDA, their standards are low. In fact, by their own admission, their standards are very low. And all of those things are legal. You know, 6 inches larger than your body for your whole life. I mean, that's just horrible. There are 95 inspectors for over 8,100 facilities to do the inspections. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, you can do the math. It's really tough. And, you know, the HSUS, my colleagues with the Stop Puppy Mills campaign, and they are dynamite. They're on fire, really working hard. And the Horrible 100 report is really, wow. It's overwhelming what's happening. And they list the worst 100 puppy mill breeders. And it's pretty well known by now, the Horrible 100 report. People can reference it. Oh, they're in the Horrible 100. And people know what that is. But so it's the USDA, you know, some of the ordinances, the local folks will say, oh, well, I only get them from a USDA breeder. Well, that's not a good thing. I mean, that's not saying that's a good thing, but it sounds good. And so that's where the education factor is really important. And so we know that, again, responsible local breeders are not going to sell their puppies to a store. Of course, we promote pet adoption. And really what we do is promote a humane pet store ordinance, the model of selling food and collars and toys. I mean, who listening, any of your listeners, doesn't spend practically all their money on, you know, things for their animals, for their pets, you know, toys and collars and food and a new leash and all those good things. And that's a booming market, booming. And so, you know, we encourage the stores to transition to selling supplies and then to work with their local shelter or rescue to come in and highlight, showcase some of their adoptable animals. But again, not to have puppies for sale. And it's working. Again, we have a lot of ordinances here. We've got two in the works now. But it's going to take a little while. But there's over 300 throughout the country, ordinances. And so most are city, some are county here in Florida. But again, 76 in Florida is and growing. So we're really hopeful. And that seems to be impactful because the stores are about 80 plus, not as many in North Florida, mostly in South Florida, but stores nonetheless. So we're hitting it on both sides and hopeful that we will get this across the finish line in the years to come. Nothing is fast, but we know that and we're not going anywhere. So it's all right. We'll be here. And I have to say, we have an incredible team of volunteers in Florida. Because our state is so spread out and so diverse and so many issues, I mean, equine issues, you know, obviously sheltering issues, wildlife issues, we haven't even gotten to that yet. That's so important in Florida. We have so many wildlife issues that, you know, we've got volunteers in Miami all the way to Pensacola, and we're grateful for that. We've got a great team of volunteers, and they are valuable. I mean, I'm a volunteer here in Tallahassee, and I do volunteer work, so I'm a volunteer as well, and cherish the volunteers, the good work of volunteers, because they can move mountains. They really can. Very smart, dedicated folks.
Oh, that's wonderful. And a big shout out to all of them and yourself, you know, putting all this hard work and inspiring, you know, and giving the animals a chance and seeing that their lives become better because, oh, Kate, they so well deserve it. They're so awesome. I mean, our pets at home, you know, we know we got, you know, great care with them here in our homes, but the ones out there that are not so lucky and that they're in a lot of stress or they're getting abused or neglected or, you know, there's so many areas that I can mention, you know, that the ones in help, because I on this show, I stand up for all the animals in need and distress. And that goes, you know, from domestic to wild to farm. I mean, all of them. And so that's where we got to aim at and, you know, get some better, you know, changes for them. Because the animals, everyone out there, they really thank all of us. when, you know, their lives go, you know, see changes for the better. They can't tell us, but we know, you know, when we see them out running around and they're happy and socializes and then they're not in stress or anxiety or fear. That's our goals here. And that's what we want to see. Not just the ones that, you know, are in good care. We want to see the ones in need to change over to be cared for and loved and attention. Because we're all on this earth temporarily, everyone, including the animals. So we got to make the best of it. And our voices do matter. And our phone calls matter. Our letters matter to the politicians. You know, whatever you can do. The Humane Society of the United States. You know, either on the main webpage or on Facebook or Twitter. I mean, they're there and see how you can help out. Even Humane Society of United States, Florida. Whatever you can do, because every effort counts, doesn't it, Kate? I mean, every effort.
It does. We need our folks to take those actions that you've just described. I wholeheartedly agree, truly. And even before, I've been here almost 9 years. But even before I worked with HSUS, I was a volunteer with HSUS and took action. And now I think back and how important that was. I didn't know. You know, I learned every day, was learning something new. But in hindsight, it was so, so important and also a great learning experience to, you know, meet with lawmakers. I mean, the thing is, a lot of them really care about animals. You know, that's also the neat thing about animal issues. They're nonpartisan. And they just are. They're not partisan. People care about animals who, you know, on whatever side or whatever their other. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's how we can get things done. And people work together. Lawmakers work together. And that's important for that to remain that way. And it truly is. So we have Humane Lobby Day every year in Tallahassee, which folks gripe about because it's up in North Florida. It's kind of out of the way. But this year, of course, it's virtual, and it's next Wednesday, the 24th. But as you said, they can find it on Facebook. It's HSUS Florida, and not the main HSUS Facebook page, but HSUS Florida. And we actually still have a greyhound picture on the page. And so Carla Wilson, who's like the most amazing volunteer ever, she and I will have to discuss. She's here in Florida. What we want to change that picture, but I didn't want to change the picture until last month, at least until January. So we'll work on that. But on the Facebook page, there's, you know, you can register for Humane Lobby Day. So it's virtual and it's next week. And it's just like you've just described, it's letting your voices be heard, talking to our lawmakers. And we hope that that inspires folks to start that communication. And you know what, sometimes it's with their aide and you find out their aide has an adopted dog and that this aide is very influential. They are very important. And, so you should never discount, you know, speaking with a lawmaker's aide because they can be very influential and important and also shed some light and give you some feedback, which is, you know, cherished information. And they can, you know, just share and fill us in a little bit about that lawmaker, you know, whether they have pets or not. And that's always, I always ask that. And people are sometimes like, okay, why are you asking? Well, because it tells me. You know, to help make that connection with that lawmaker about, say, the cat or a dog or a horse or, you know, whatever, or they don't have any, then you might have a little bit more work to do, but at least you'll know. So I do ask a lot of questions, but whatever, in any way, shape, or form, it's important to communicate with your lawmakers and let them know politely that these issues matter, whether it's, I know there's bills this year on the MCORS, which is this, like, awful toll road project that we're trying to get pushed back or repealed to, you know, defining shelter for animals in the state. And then there's several other bills this year. But whatever the issue is, you can find one lawmaker who might be interested in one, maybe not the other. But if you can catch them on that one, you've made that connection. And it's, you know, it's, in some ways, it's harder now because we can't walk around the Capitol. I mean, you can, but have to have special invitation and such. But it's not like it always has been. But on the other hand, they're more likely to have a Zoom meeting than an in-person meeting. It's faster. And so we're maybe getting a few more meetings, but the walking around and bumping into a legislator and chit-chatting with them in the hallway, that's not happening. So there's some, you know, limits because of COVID, but we know we'll be back to in person. Well, I expect to be back in person next year, and next year session begins in January. Just to confuse everybody in Florida, it changes. So next year session will start in January, but we'll hopefully be back in person. That's what we're working for anyway. But I did want to talk a little bit about the iguanas and the non-native reptiles. Is that all right with you if I change gears?
Oh, yes,
and talk
absolutely.
About okay,
absolutely.
Good.
Yep.
Good. And it's so interesting. Florida is the only state where the Wildlife Commission has constitutional authority. So it's very unique. And so it's a quick change your hat, you know, turn the other way. It's a different body to work on and to get to know and to talk with them about these issues and lobby, essentially. But our FWC is looking to tighten the regulations, thankfully, on the non-native breeding and selling, the trade of non-native reptiles. I mean, who doesn't know that Florida's overrun with pythons, right? I mean, that's everyone knows that. Iguanas and tegus, there are at least four established populations of tegu lizards, and they can live all the way up to about West Virginia. So they can live much further. And they've already spread into Georgia, and it's a huge problem because of the trade. Not that, you know, I mean, some get out by accident, you know, whatever. I'm not even, you know, that's a complicated issue. But having them here and breeding and selling and trading, they get out. And, I mean, look at the pythons. I mean, they're not native. And so it's, you know, decimated the native wildlife and the environment. And the other thing is it's sad for the native wildlife. It's bad for the environment. But it's really sad for these animals, too. The iguanas and the tegus, I mean, they didn't ask to be here. And so people, you know, they are not treated very well, to say the least. And there's an effort of trying to, you know, kill them or euthanize them. And it's just a lose-lose for the animals. So we are really supporting the FWC's draft. So they're currently working on a draft rule that would tighten these rules, essentially. So if it's going to be up next Thursday in the Wildlife Commission meeting, and if it passes, it would say no more breeding or selling pythons because you can breed them and, you know, with a proper, permit and sell them out of state. You can't sell them in state currently, but this would even prohibit the breeding. And so that would be good. And then it would crack down and significantly limit the iguanas and tegus. So it's a step in the right direction, and we're really, really supportive of the good work that FWC is doing, and of course, encouraging them to go even further. So that will be a big day, and that's next Thursday, the 25th.
Oh, this is, you know, all best of luck. You know, iguanas, they all deserve, you know, we all share this earth together temporarily. They have every right to be here. You know, iguanas are so awesome. I've, you know, been up close with them and looking at them. They are wonderful, you know, just like these other animals and you know, wildlife. They're just, you know, I mean, can you imagine this earth without our animal friends? Oh, my goodness. They bring us up. It's uplifting. They, you know, bring, you know, they're just wonderful. All these animals, they have a right to live their lives in freedom. You know, peace, love, care.
They do.
Dignity, respect.
Right. And when we mess with it, it's not helpful.
Yes.
We human beings, yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you been to South Florida? I mean, the iguanas are big, and they're everywhere. And tegus and, you know, they're fascinating, but they're, you know, in North Florida where I live, we don't have them. So it's certainly, I mean, they're really everywhere. And that's part of the challenge because they've been brought in. I mean, and Florida has the worst invasive species problem in the world. That's pretty significant because of the climate and all the ports, and there are different critters coming in. It's never good for the animals. I will do a shout out. FWC has a really good bill this session. So I know it's a little confusing, but they have constitutional authority. So they have way more authority, as I said before, than other state wildlife agencies. And so kudos to them. But they also have bills that go through the legislature, if certain kinds of bills. like stiffening the penalty. And so they have a bill in the and their stuff always passes. Ours takes a little longer, but that's the way it goes. But they have a bill this session that would add wildlife trafficking to the list of racketeering offenses. How about that? It's big because there have been a couple of really big cases that are just horrible for the animals. And so, you know, we applaud FWC a lot, certainly a lot. This would be a really good bill. So we're supporting it and the good work they're doing. I feel sure it will pass, but we hope so.
Best of luck. And Kate, we got a caller. If you want to start taking calls right now. And everyone, whoever wants to call in, area code 310-982-4270, press 1, and you'll be in the queue, and that'll alert me that you want to speak to the guest. And you can also use Skype also to call in, okay? And here we go, area code 407. You are live and on the air. Welcome to Voices Care for Animals. Go right here if you have any questions or comments for Kate. Go right ahead. Thank you. Hello?
Hi, I would like to, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead. Well, thanks for calling in.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call. I would like to thank Kate and HSUS for everything that they do. I did follow the Greyhound issue a little bit in Florida, and I did vote yes on Amendment 13. And so I had a question about that. I read about it quite a bit in the paper, and I noticed that it had Laura Trump as a supporter, and then it also had my local Democrat who also supported that issue. So my question is, with a lot of the animal issues, do you find that they're left and right? Do they lean more left and right, or does it matter?
That's a great question. It's a really, really critical question, especially now. And no, they don't go left or right. Animal issues are they're not partisan, or they're bipartisan, whichever way you want to say it. We had, you know, for 6.5 years, our previous Attorney General Pam Bondi, she had a standing invitation to bring an adoptable shelter dog to every cabinet meeting. So the governor was there, the AG and CFO and Pam Bondi, the AG. Before they started their cabinet meetings, they were official, you know, they would ceremonial, they would do awards and all this. She would walk around beautifully dressed, as always, with a shelter dog that I brought. And I love that. I absolutely love that. I grew to just adore her and just huge respect. And that's just one small example. So they're not partisan. I mean, we've got, you know, Pam Bondi, and as you said, Laura Trump was a wonderful spokesperson on behalf of the Greyhounds. And then, you know, we've got Jared Moskowitz and Carlos Guillermo Smith, who are just, you know, wonderful champions on the other side. So I love that question, especially here in Florida, because they we need all the help and all the supporters we can get, whatever side or whatever party they're with. Animals need them. And so that's a real important one. So I appreciate that question. It's a good one.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, great, Kate, with that victory going with the Greyhounds, that is, can you imagine all the Greyhounds that's happy right now doing the happy dog dance? You know,
they're doing the happy dance. That's right.
Oh, yeah. The victory dance, that big word victory. The V.
Oh, my gosh, that's so funny. Right. and, you know, we loved our partnership working with Grey2K USA. I mean, that was a wonderful, wonderful campaign, but took a long time. And what people don't realize is that actually didn't ever even pass the legislature after all these years. And that was complicated because it was wrapped up in gaming, which is big money and that whole issue. But thanks to the Senate president and wonderful friend Tom Lee, that he created Proposal 67, which turned into Amendment 13. And the voters passed it because of this, you know, the CRC, which is every 20 years completely unique circumstances. But in the past, and we're, as you said, doing our dogs are all doing the happy dance, but it didn't pass the legislature after all that. But all those years and all that work made the media and our lawmakers, for that matter, which several of them were on the CRC commission, but the public very aware of this issue. So the voters passed it almost 70%. Pretty pretty remarkable. So
wow.
Yeah. Good.
70%.
We'll get there with puppy mills and the other issues. There are a lot of issues. And I think since COVID, I feel like there might, maybe it's just people are noticing it more, but I'm getting more calls about cruelty. And I, you know, we love our law enforcement partners. Just talk about another entity. We do wonderful law enforcement trainings. And if anyone's listening and wants their local, you know, reach out to me. We'd love to help. They're free. And of course, now they're virtual for our friends in law enforcement, whether it's a big, large sheriff's office, an ag unit, or a police department, or both, which is even better. And we just did one last week, and there were law enforcement officers from Miami and Naples all the way to Pensacola. And it was about 3 hours and very, very informative. But there are a lot of rural counties in Florida that don't have animal control and just are very, very limited. And one thing that's on my bucket list is, seriously, this is on my bucket list, is to get in the law enforcement academy. So currently in Florida, officers graduate from the academy in law enforcement, and they are not, it is not required for them to have any schooling on animal cruelty. Now, if somebody goes to work for a particular sheriff's office or an agency, they might do their, they usually do their own training, but it's, some do, some don't. It's not required. And I would like for it to be required, something, so that these officers know and they're given the tools, because they get out there. And I don't think it's fair, because we know animal cruelty is there, unfortunately. And it goes hand in hand with, you know, cruelty and violence to people. We know that in children. The connection has been established long before, you know, my lifetime. So it's imperative that these officers be given the training and the tools, at least a little bit, to know that it's there and to reach out should they come upon, you know, a cruelty situation. They might not know every detail, but they know enough to know, I need to get, you know, call somebody and get some help here. This is something, you know, it's noteworthy here, not just to blow it off. So in a lot of these areas, they have great officers who do care, but don't have the tools and the resources. And it's been, that's a big challenge. And that's something I really enjoy helping those officers, because 9 times out of 10, they really want to help and do the right thing, but it's just a challenge. And so Florida, again, is so diverse. You've got, you know, Miami, and then there's a lot of ag lands in Florida. And then you've got, you know, Central Florida. Panhandle is more like Alabama. I mean, it's just a lot of different states all wrapped up in one, which is also why it's very popular. And that's a whole other thing, with about 1,000 people moving here a day. It's, you know, we're fight hard to protect, you know, the environment and habitat and our wonderful black bears that we cherish. So it's I really enjoyed the wildlife work, and there's so many groups that work on that issue, so many issues within that. But we, Florida is definitely a unique state, and I'm grateful to be here. I've been here in Florida 21 years, although I wasn't born and raised here. So we have a lot of challenges though. And, so I'm grateful for all the different advocates that help, because I can't be in Miami and Pensacola, you know, that's about 11-hour drive. That's a long one, you know, from one tip to the other. And this is pre-COVID. Of course, now with COVID, we're not really traveling. But we will be back to traveling, I feel sure. And we'll get healthy again and you know, keep working on all these great issues. And one of, as I said a second ago, one of my favorites is our law enforcement training. I'm really proud of that. My colleagues who coordinate and do all of that. It's really fun, because the officers want to learn this and want to do the right thing. And we just have to, you know, provide the tools and some of the education. And that's really heartwarming. A shout out to Lee County. Lee County has their sheriff, Sheriff Carmine Mercino, is absolutely stellar. He's off the charts champion for animals. He's created Animal Cruelty Task Force. He's made it a priority. And lo and behold, they have all these cruelty cases, because they're addressing them. They know what to do. They have the support from leadership. And it's not that there's more cruelty cases there. It's that they're actually addressing them. So a big shout out to our friends and officers, law enforcement in Lee County, Florida. We're really proud of the work they're doing, and hope that catches on to other counties and other parts of Florida, and they follow the lead that's happening there. It's great leadership. Like a lot of things, it starts at the top, you know.
Hey, strong leaders and strong supporters equals out to strong victories, everyone. So please do your part, whatever it takes. Every effort counts out there. Don't stand still and do nothing, because when you do nothing, you know, expect no changes, right, Kate? I mean, you have to get involved and stay involved.
Oh, yeah.
I can't make no changes, okay? But thousands of me like me can if we all group together and band and do something. That's why I'm doing this radio. And caller, if you could stay on the air. I got another caller coming. Calling in.
Great.
From area code 305.
Yeah.
You're live and on the air.
That's
go right ahead.
And caller, you can stay on the air. I got another call or something.
Okay.
Hello?
Area code 305.
You're live and on the air.
Go right ahead.
Area code 305. You're live and on the air.
Me?
Hold on a second.
Yeah, you might want to mute
your having audio problems with 305. If you can call back from another number, area code 305, and I'll let you come on air, but I'm having audio problems with that number. But go right ahead, Kate. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay. Hopefully they'll call back. But that's just, I think that's a South Florida number. I mean, there are so many amazing advocates throughout Florida that in one day I can have, you know, I can't even name all the issues from, you know, the pelicans that are suffering over on the West Coast, just getting tangled, and I know there's a lot of good groups along with the agencies trying to help them and resolve that, and as well, as I said, as the non-native reptiles, and there's so many issues. The other really exciting thing that we're working on in Florida, I forgot to mention this, is our wildlife conflicts program. So Florida is one of three states that that my colleagues in the Wildlife Conflict Department, who are amazing, that we are in the program working on helping resolve conflicts. So, for example, people will call animal control, whether or not that animal control department handles these issues or not, the public still calls them because that's what they do. That's what they think of. Of course, wildlife issues are handled by FWC, but not like small issues that are day-to-day, you know, in the neighborhood, in the community. So there's a balance, but and usually the animal control folks have a great relationship with FWC and they can work together. But our movement here is to help, you know, give these animal control departments and dispatchers the tools and the information so that if somebody calls about X, Y, and Z, they have it right there and can educate that person over the phone and be helpful and solve it, not just say, you should love animals as much as I do. You know, don't mess with them, you know, which of course we want that. And we say, of course, don't harm them or do anything like that. But to help them, if there's a critter in the attic or something, you know, to help them humanely, of course, resolve the situation and or get help or whatever needs to happen. So to give those dispatchers and the animal control folks, the locals on the ground, the tools and the information, the resources to support their callers and the public and people that, you know, come in person or whatever, with good information. That's not, you know, we'll just relocate. No. You don't need to, you know, trap a raccoon because he's in your yard. He lives there. You know, say hello, whatever, move on. They're just doing their thing and living their lives. And, you know, unless there's a problem or he's injured or he's doing something, just because they walked by, it's not, you know, that's, of course, your callers know that. So just to kind of help educate people. And again, with a lot of people moving here from other states, they don't know. And they might call about, you know, the iguanas or whatever that the public may not know about some of the wildlife. There's a lot of really diverse, amazing wildlife in Florida. So we're excited about working with our local agencies around the state. Again, this with my colleagues from the Wildlife Conflict Department. And it's going well. COVID is, of course, put kind of a kink in it, but we're working around it. And just like everyone has, you know, does workarounds and And so far, so good. And we're really excited about that, to be reaching out. And to law enforcement. I mean, you know, coyotes, people say, well, we have a coyote problem. Well, no, you don't. You really have a people problem. And, you know, it's education and all of that, just like others. They're attracted to food and cat food or whatever you leave out. And so the education factor is really significant on most animal issues, but certainly on the wildlife and on the attractants. Maybe they're back.
Okay, Kate?
Yes.
I got
yes.
the caller calling in on 305.
Okay.
Comment or question for you, okay? And the
yes.
Erico 407 caller, please stay on the air. Go ahead. Go right ahead. You're live and on the air. You have any comments or questions for Kate, please? Go right ahead.
Yeah. I really love what you're saying, and it's so inspiring. But I did have a question. You know, I have some friends, you know, that are active in the animal rights movement as well as myself. And, you know, they love doing rescue. They love doing volunteering work at their shelter. They, you know, they love going to demonstrations, but it's really hard to kind of get them interested in doing, you know, the kind of work that you've been talking about in terms of, you know, getting in touch with their officials and their legislators. And I think it's maybe two reasons. One is that, you know, it's not as appealing to them as, you know, hands-on animal work. But then also, I think they find it a little scary and intimidating, and they feel like they don't know enough to, you know, to, about the issues really to talk to a legislator. I just didn't know if you had any suggestions for, you know, how to help them with that.
These are great questions. Those are really great questions. And we see that all the time, even with my own family and friends, is I want to do rescue. And my closest girlfriend works here with my local humane society. And she's like, I'm too busy saving animals. I got puppies. I got all these animals. I can't go to the Capitol. You got to be kidding me. I don't have time for that. I'm like, no. If we can get some laws passed and work on that, that will help, you know, help these other issues. But I get it. And the hands-on is fun. I foster, I have a lot of pets, I volunteer at my shelter, so I try to do both. But to answer your question or to respond, I think two things. One, to start on the local level. To meet with a city commissioner or county commissioner is probably less intimidating, although still intimidating. They're an elected official and have a lot of responsibility, but less intimidating than a state legislator. So, and having a buddy, having a friend, actually three things. So that would be the second, is having a friend, a local friend that can, again, pre-COVID, go with them and ask for a few minutes. And even if it's just, hey, come visit the shelter, you know, promote some event, again, pre-COVID or after COVID, we're having an event, a fundraiser, whatever, some connection there, or to talk about an issue, an ordinance that you're working on. But on the local, it's sometimes easier in baby steps, or invite them to an event where you meet them out and about and not going to their office, because that can be nerve-wracking. I totally remember that. And then, so the buddy, and then the other is to, if since COVID, so much is happening in, you know, with Zoom, if someone is interested in meeting with their lawmaker and they do it by Zoom, I mean, depending on scheduling, I'm happy to join them, or one of our really hardcore, great volunteers, district leaders and really experienced volunteers maybe could join them. So again, because of Zoom and other Skype and other, you know, virtual meetings, wherever that person is, it might not have to be with them physically, they can join them. So having someone there helps. So those are some suggestions. And if they understand that helping pass puppy mill legislation will help, you know, help the animals in the shelter, ultimately fewer, you know, puppy mill puppies and animals pouring out in the community, making that connection might inspire them to get a little bit more active on legislation. So those are great questions. And I love that you asked. I think those are three thoughts, but maybe, you know, somebody else on the call wants to, you know, has a better idea or an additional idea. But I think having a buddy, it helped me when I was I still am a volunteer. And when we go up to TAFA, which is a conference the HSUS has every other year in D.C., I'm like, okay, I got to study up on these bills, because I don't work on the federal legislation. We follow them, of course, and my colleagues talk about them, and I know in general, but I don't know the latest details, and so I have to study up. And so I totally get it. I'm in the same boat, essentially. I'm going to and up there in D.C., it's usually a staff member. But either way, I have to study up. But some of the – there's a huge network of really great volunteers in Florida that I'm so lucky to be able to work with, have the privilege to work with. So that's you know, connecting with a local volunteer is always a boon and comforting to that newer advocate. Good question.
Yep, great. That's everything that you're doing, Kate, is so inspiring, and keep it up, because – you know, like what the caller was just talking about, you know, a lot of people, they don't want to get involved just for them reasons, because they're not, you know, up to everything that's going on, the awareness and, you know, legislators. And I always help, you know, especially saying on this radio, hey, if you haven't contacted your legislator, it's never too late. You can always make your voice heard. You know, write them,
right,
whatever it takes, because, you know, this, it doesn't get any easier than help make changes from the comfort of your home, your phone, your computer, your fax, your copier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't get that easier. So when you're, if the audience out there, and if you know somebody like I do, you know, I hear, get questions, hey, contact them, give them the number, and explain to them what they need to do, you know, be professional and polite.
That's right.
Because it's never too late out there.
And I love to be helpful. And people will say,
yes,
I'm going to call the governor. And I'm like, well, you can. I mean, but let's, I have a better idea. Why don't, you know, try this or this. And so reach out and ask someone, you know, for pointers or whatever, and then go for it. But strategy is, you know, is important too.
Yes, you know, I mean, just an audience out there, it is never too late to contact them, you know, or get involved. It's never, because the more voices out there, and I want to give a big shout-out to Ray Bittner, Mama Cat, strength in numbers, she says, because the more of us that come together, the stronger our voices get, and the faster the changes will get made. So do everything
right,
you can, you know, out there, and help someone. If you're already an advocate, please take the time and help, because I do that myself, you know. So I've gotten Facebook friends help started on their own Facebook pages or groups, you know, or just anything. I said, just ask any questions. I'm here for you. You know, it takes teamwork, and the more of us that do that, you know, and help each other out, that the better it is.
You're right,
so,
about that. And our critics will say that, you know, sometimes divide and conquer. And if the animal advocates don't work together, we're easier to conquer. And so the opposition does say that, and we are stronger together. Now, an equine group and a puppy mill group might not have the exact same goals, but they care about all animals, I would bet. And so working together in a positive way can really make a lot more change than everybody splintered kind of doing their solo thing. And I'm a big, big believer in partnerships. In fact, our Humane Lobby Day that I mentioned a minute ago, just last year and this year, we just started last year partnering with ALDF, and that's just wonderful. So I just think strength in numbers and working together makes us better and stronger. And that's how the opposition is strong. So we have to be strong too. We have to be stronger. And we can be,
yes,
if we're together.
That's right. We are better together than apart, everyone. You know, if you notice how many Facebook pages and groups for animals is out there, it is humongous. Even on Twitter, you know, LinkedIn, Pinterest. So if we all cross over and help one another out, that doubles over, you know, triples over.
It does.
So, you know, don't try to do
care.
It alone, because it's better,
right,
you know,
better together.
More members, or, you know, it's so much, you know, improvement made faster than, you know, staying, you know, alone in a group or, you know, not branching out and helping others. You know, some of them have just one cause they attend to and help out, which is good, but yet we can, you know, like I multitask, you know, I go and whatever I can, you know, with these shows also. So when on social media, I cross over and I'm on so many groups and pages, and whatever I see through news feed, I try to go from every angle. You know, I even help elder abuse. So whatever I can do.
That's connected too. I'm glad that you mentioned that because we have been working on an issue for a couple of years, and that's stiffening the penalty for the sexual abuse of animals. And it's very pertinent because it's the number one predictor for the sexual abuse of children. And violence to children and elders is closely connected to violence to animals. They are absolutely connected. And so that's a comforting and also helps on many levels. That link, which we all know, is really, really strongly highlighted. So I love that you do that and volunteer and help other groups. I mean, truly, working together is critical for success. And we've really started to work here in Florida. I have made an effort to work more closely with some of the environmental groups who are fabulous. And we know and have kind of worked on together a little bit, but working a little bit more closely. And there should be hopefully a letter printed in one of the South Florida papers that it's a joint op-ed with a wonderful lady, Elise Bennett from the Center for Biological Diversity and me from the HSUS. Hopefully that's going to be printed. We're working on it, but that's just one example of, you know, the teamwork that we can be more powerful and more impactful together because we have different, you know, audiences perhaps or connections or sphere of influence and friends and all of that we'll bring together for a common goal. And it sounds kind of cliche, but it really does work. And the opposition told another friend of mine that the animal people, you know, they get splintered and they don't agree on anything among themselves. And that's, they're easier to, you know, get to. So we have to prove that person wrong and stick together. That's what I think anyway.
That's right. And Kate, we're in this to see that big, powerful word victory and do the victory dance and happy dance. And then we do it and moving on.
I have a vision of the Greyhounds doing a happy dance, and it's making me laugh.
That's it. I know I was. That was wonderful. And, you know, they're doing the happy dog dance and for them. That was great.
Right. Course,
I'm gonna call you Kate the Great, okay?
okay.
You deserve it.
I thought you were gonna say Greyhound. They used to call me the Greyhound Lady at the Capitol, but I loved it. I wear that like a badge of honor.
That was wonderful. And you know what? We're down to 2 minutes. I want to really thank you for coming back on, Kate McFaul, the Florida Director for the Humane Society of the United States. What another great interview. I knew it would be. And I want to welcome you always back again and again, you know, and keep up the great work, keep the progress going, and, you know, keep me informed, bring you back on. All you listeners, thank you for tuning in this evening. My show's Voices Carry for Animals is on every Thursday, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listen in worldwide, unlimited callers. And I want to give a shout out to the callers that called in this evening. Thank you for calling in. And feel free to call in again and again, you know, or listen in. Please spread the word because we are strength in numbers, Ray Bittner. Big shout out to my mother, Pat Dahmer. She's listening, and I love your support, Mom, and you're a beautiful woman inside and out. And I'll never, I mean, you're just wonderful, but thank you for your support. Kate Bittner, thank you for listening in, Mama Cat. And tell Skylar and Allie I said hello, and I'll give them a big hug from me. She's the, she takes care of stray cats, 100, over 125 of them in these colonies. And so anyway, please listen in next week. tune in, and you could listen to by phone or by internet. You could also use Skype. But next week we're having Mandy Dickinson and Deb Mason from the Wild Mustang Community and Freedom for Horses. Horses is going to be our topic next week, and hope you all tune in. All these shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. Everyone, thank you for tuning in. And Kate, you have a wonderful night. And thanks for all
thank
you're
you.
Doing. You're a great inspiration. All in hand.